to turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. We'll read verse 4. It's a verse that we refer to this morning. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said unto me, "For what dost thou make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. The book of Nehemiah, there in chapter 1 and verse 1, we see opens in the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes, who was the king of Persia. Nehemiah is in the palace with the king in Shushan, serving the king. In verse 2 of chapter 1, we read that Hananiah and certain men of Judah came to Shushan, and Nehemiah asked them a question. There, he asked them how the brethren were doing in Jerusalem or in Judah. Their report was grim. We see that in verse 3. Jerusalem was no longer a magnificent city, but instead was in shambles, and where there had once been great glory, there was ruin and reproach. In verse 4, we read of the effect that this news had upon Nehemiah. He sat down and mourned, wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. As we said this morning, to fast implies that you have rearranged your schedule in order to pray. We need to do that. Beginning with verse 5 through the end of the chapter, we see what Nehemiah prayed is recorded. Coming to chapter 2, 4 months have passed since the events recorded in chapter 1. We gather that from comparing verse 1 of chapter 1 with verse 1 of chapter 2. And the king noticed that Nehemiah was sad, downcast, and asked him why. Asked him what was bothering him. We see that in verses 1 and 2. Nehemiah responds in verse 3. And then the king asked Nehemiah, "What dost thou make request?" That is, Nehemiah, what do you want from me? What would you like me, the king, to do? And before Nehemiah spoke, before he answered the question, we read, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." So I prayed to the God of heaven. And we want to take the thought of the message from those words. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That ought to be a characteristic, a main characteristic of our life. It is a statement that we ought to be able to identify with. It is a statement that ought to apply in all areas of our life, in all seasons, in all the details of life. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That is a very significant statement. And that, if that is true in our, whether or not that is true in our life, determines whether or not we have a life of prayer. We all pray. And that's not what we're speaking. That's not what we spoke upon this morning. That's not what we're speaking about this evening. What we need is a life of prayer. Prayer needs to be a main feature of our life. So the question is, to what extent is our life characterized by that statement? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I want to speak tonight on simply a life of prayer. First of all, again, this is a very significant statement. Its significance is seen by how prayer is presented throughout the Word of God. All through the Bible, prayer is presented as a matter of great importance, a matter of great consequence, a matter of priority. All through the Bible, there are exhortations to pray. All through the Bible, there we find encouragement to pray. The very character of God is an encouragement to prayer. The character and need of man is an encouragement to prayer. The fact that there is an advocate who is always ready to present our prayers to God is an encouragement to pray. The fact that the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, teaching us what to pray for. The fact that we are invited to approach the throne of grace. All of these things tell us that prayer is very significant. And they all encourage us to a life of prayer. Throughout the Word of God, there is instruction in prayer, which tells me that there is a right way to pray. There is much instruction concerning prayer. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." He's teaching them how to pray. Throughout the Word of God, there are examples of men and women praying. And there are warnings concerning prayer. Jesus warned in the Sermon on the Mount against vain repetition in prayer. He said, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." That's a warning. Also, he warned of hypocrisy in prayer. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites." All of that speaks of the significance of prayer. Prayer in the Word of God is presented as a priceless and incomparable privilege. It is access to the Creator of all things. What a privilege. Access to omnipotence. Access to omniscience. Access to the throne of grace. What a privilege it is to be able to pray. Prayer is presented as an opportunity. We're told to pray at all times. We're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to pray for all things. We're told to pray for all men. And we have the opportunity to do so. If we are told to pray at all times, then we have the opportunity to pray at all times. If we're told to pray about all things, then we have the opportunity to pray about all things. We choose to pray, we choose not to pray. Prayer in the Bible is presented as part of worship. It's to be mixed with all other duties toward God. It's presented as a need. It's absolutely essential the spiritual health. Individuals need to pray. Families need to pray. I mean, families praying together. That ought to be the standard practice amongst the people of God. Churches need to pray. Prayer is a need. Prayer in the Bible is presented as a great and valuable resource to the child of God. In prayer, we find grace to help in time of need. In prayer, we find strength. We find enablement. There's joy to be had in prayer. There's peace. There's assurance. These things are obtained in prayer. In prayer, we find guidance. We find instruction. We find wisdom. It is in prayer that we find relief and comfort. The Bible tells us that prayer is a way to escape the temptations of Satan. Prayer in the Word of God is presented as a labor. It's a work. It's not an easy thing to do. Epaphras labored fervently in prayers. Jesus said men ought to always to pray and not to faint, that is, in praying, not to quit, not to cease, not to give up. So prayer is something that requires strength, something that requires stamina. It's something that we are to persevere in, praying always, Ephesians 6, verse 18, with all prayer, with all perseverance. Prayer is presented as a central part of the child of God's arsenal in spiritual warfare. We see that in Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Again, all of this speaks of the significance of prayer. It is to be a central part of our lives. It is to be a major part of our life. So we have to ask ourselves, to what extent is our life characterized by prayer? What role does prayer have in our life? When do we pray? When do we pray? That is, what moves and motivates us to pray? That says a lot about us, an honest answer to those questions. Prayer is to be such a significant part of our life that it's just to be natural for you and I to pray. Is it natural? Do you find it a natural thing just to pray? It ought to be natural to pray no matter what the season, whether it be days of joy or times of sorrow, days of victory or days of defeat. It ought to be natural for you and I to pray. In the midst of blessing, it ought to be natural for us to pray. In the midst of trials and afflictions, it ought to be natural for us to pray. In times of health or in times of sickness, it ought to be natural to pray. When we're strong or when we're weak, it ought to be our inclination to pray. So to what extent is our life marked by prayer? How natural is it for us to pray? The significance of prayer is also seen by what prayer is. So I prayed to the God of heaven. What does that mean? What does it mean to pray? What is prayer? Is it just saying some words? Is it just talking to God? Or is it something more than that? So I prayed to the God of heaven. True prayer is to take our place before God. So I prayed before the God of heaven. He entered into the presence of God. You do not truly pray until you enter into the presence of God. True praying is man's realization. It's man's plea of weakness and ignorance and need. When an individual feels weak, ignorant, and in need, they're able to pray. In all true praying, self-will must be laid to the side. And there is the taking the place of surrender and recognizing the sovereignty and the greatness and the authority and the power and the ownership of God. So to really pray is to take our proper place before God. So I prayed to the God of heaven. To what extent is our life characterized by taking our proper place before God in praying? How often do we find ourselves taking our proper place before God in prayer? To pray is to have our hearts drawn to God. Nehemiah would see many things, would hear many things as they rebuilt those walls, would feel many things and experience many things. And so it is with us. But the key is that in all of those things, that our heart be drawn to God. You can't pray until your heart is drawn to God. In every aspect of our lives, our hearts ought to be drawn to God. In every pursuit that we undertake, our hearts ought to be drawn to God. In every relationship, in every situation, in every circumstance, our hearts are to be drawn to God. Our lives, of course, consist of responsibilities. They consist of decisions. Our lives consist of family and careers and a variety of places and a variety of circumstances. And in it all, our hearts are to be drawn to God. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That means Nehemiah's heart was drawn to God. So to what extent is our life marked and characterized by our hearts being drawn to the Lord? To pray is to earnestly seek God. That's what prayer is. It's seeking God. Not just seeking what God can give, but seeking God. Big difference. In all true praying, there has to be a focus upon God. There has to be a desire for God, a yearning for God, a passion for God, a longing for His presence, longing for His glory, because in all of our prayers we ought to be praying that He be glorified. A longing for His power, for His help, for His intervention, for His manifestation, for the manifestation of His will. So again, we must make personal examination To what extent is our life marked and characterized by earnestly seeking God? How often do we earnestly seek God? Seeking God's presence, His glory, His power, His help, His intervention. So I prayed to the God of heaven. But just another way of saying, so I sought the Lord. So I sought the Lord. To pray is a recognition, of course, of need. To pray is to call upon God for something specific. It's to pour our heart out to the Lord. How often do we call out to God? Is this a matter of course? Is it natural for us to call out to God? What is it that moves and compels us to call out to God? Is it after we've tried everything else and God's the last resort? Or is it no matter what's going on, so I prayed. So I prayed. So I prayed. What is it that compels us to call out to God? What is it that compels us to pour out our heart to God? To pray is to have contact with God. It's communion and fellowship with the Lord. So I prayed. So I entered into fellowship with God. So I entered into communion with God. So I was in contact with the Lord. Contact and fellowship with the shepherd of the sheep, with our Father. Again, how much of our life is spent in contact with God? How much of a day is spent in contact with God? And something happens. Who do you feel compelled to contact? It ought to be God. First and foremost. And again, what is it that causes us to seek contact with God? What is it that causes us to contact the Lord? To pray is to believe. In all true praying, there has to be faith. Prayer, of course, is an approach to God. And God cannot be approached without faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This faith allows us to approach God with assurance. We may come boldly unto the throne of grace. There's assurance, there's confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. It's to come to God without wavering. But let him ask in faith. That's prayer. Nothing wavering. James 1, verse 6. So true praying is a personal belief in God. We can really measure our belief by our prayer life. True praying is personal belief. It's personal assurance. It's personal confidence of God's authority. Once again, I don't know why anyone who does not believe in the sovereignty of God would even bother praying. It doesn't make sense. It is a belief in the authority of God. It is a belief in His love that God is going to hear. It is a belief in His teaching, His sustenance, His care, His instruction, His correction, His power. So again, what extent is our life characterized by a faith that prompts us to pray? If faith does not lead us to pray, then we don't have much faith. Faith ought to prompt us to approach God. So we have these words of Nehemiah, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." I love that statement because it's just a matter of course statement. So I prayed, just like it was natural. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So in closing, let's look at the extent of this statement in our life. We see the significance of the statement by what prayer is and what the Bible has to say about prayer. So I prayed to the God of heaven. How extensive is that in our lives? How exhaustive is that in our life? Consider the statement with regard to the happenings of life. Consider the statement in regards to the happenings of a day. When we're face to face with difficulties or problems or trials, how often can we say, "So I prayed to the God of heaven"? May I say that's not after you've tried everything else, that eventually you get around to that. This is the first response. We have our day. All of a sudden we're faced with a difficulty, a problem, a trial. So I prayed to God of heaven. That ought to be our life. So I prayed. I mean, is there something better to do? Is there someone better to contact? So I prayed to the God of heaven. When faced with obstacles, we have our day and perhaps we're moving along, seem to be moving in the direction of God, and all of a sudden there's a hindrance, there's an obstacle. What do we do? So I prayed to the God of heaven. When we're tempted, going along in a day, and all of a sudden there's temptation. What do we do? So I prayed to the God of heaven. We'd have many more victories over temptation if that was our first response. So I prayed to the God of heaven. When we're struggling, and we all do, when we're struggling with discouragement, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When you're discouraged, the worst thing you can do is turn to that which is going to feed discouragement. And that's what most people do. So I prayed to the God of heaven. When all of a sudden you feel anger, so I prayed the God of heaven. We wouldn't say many of the things we say if when we're angry we would stop and pray. We begin to feel bitterness in our hearts. So I pray to the God of heaven. When pride begins to well up in our soul, so I pray to the God of heaven. That needs to be our life. Whatever transpires in a day, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When there's sorrow, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When there's joy, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Yes, we're to pray in times of joy. To pray in all seasons. When there are losses, or when there are gains, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When we're faced with a choice, don't make a list of all the pros and cons. Pray. Pray to God. Your list doesn't mean a thing. Pray to God. Faced with a choice, faced with a decision, faced with an ultimatum, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to our families, a lot of issues in any family. A lot of problems. A lot of burdens. A lot of needs. So I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to our health, or health of someone else, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to careers, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to finances, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to relationships and establishing relationships, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to our hearts, when it comes to our minds, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to our emotions, so I prayed to the God of heaven. This needs to be our life. Just going to God in prayer. When it's time to get up in the morning, the alarm goes off, so I prayed to the God of heaven. That ought to be just a matter of course. So I prayed to the God of heaven. When it's time to go to bed at night, so I prayed to the God of heaven. This is something we're always to do. When it's time to go to church, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Much prayer ought to be entered into before we go to the house of God. So I prayed to the God of heaven. It's time to open this book. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Ought to pray all the way to church. When you get to church, you ought to pray. When it's time for the preacher to get up and preach, so I prayed to the God of heaven. While he's preaching, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When he's done preaching, so I prayed to the God of heaven. When it's time to walk out that door, so I prayed to the God of heaven. This needs to be our life. When it comes to the unsaved, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So I prayed to the God of heaven. You look at the lives of many unsaved people, and their lives can anger us. Their lives can disgust us. But here's what needs to happen. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Lord, would you save their soul? That was me till you saved me. So I prayed to the God of heaven. When it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, they have a burden. So I prayed to the God of heaven. They have a need. So I prayed to the God of heaven. They're getting on my last nerve. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Whatever. This is to be our response. So we must ask and examine ourselves. How often are these words true of our lives? Again, I'm not talking about when we finally get around to praying. I'm talking about when this is just a matter of course. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Go home tonight. Your phone rings. Someone tells you bad news. What's your first response? Well, I've got to call so-and-so. That should not be your first response. So I prayed to the God of heaven. To what extent is our life characterized by prayer? Is our life marked by prayer? If you read Baptist history, or if you listen to, most of them are dead and gone, but people who talk about revivals in the past, and the key to all of it, what was always there, was prayer. People would meet all day and pray. All day long. And pray. We need to be a people of prayer. Especially in these days in which we live. And for anyone who would say, well, you don't understand, but I'm busy and I don't have time. You need to rearrange your schedule because this is important. You'll rearrange your schedule for some other things. We'd better start rearranging our schedule to pray, to seek God. So we hear the words of Nehemiah. So I prayed to the God of heaven. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, they've come to the end of the 70-year captivity. I mean, it's 70 years. And Daniel knows the scriptures. And in Daniel 9, verse 3, he says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. See, a lot of things, we hear a lot of things that are very disturbing. And this needs to be us. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer. We need to be a praying people. Daniel 9, verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. And I prayed. And I prayed. That needs to be us. Again, there our children, there are grandchildren, there are acquaintances, there are family members that are a mess. Their lives are in shambles. Do we care enough to pray? So I prayed. Set my face unto God. So what role do these words have in our life? So I prayed to the God of heaven. To what extent is our life characterized by those words? I desire that be the life of each and every member of Home Baptist Church. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So I prayed. You get an email for prayer requests, Sharon sends them out. That ought to be response number one. Not to discuss it. Everybody's got to dissect everything and discuss and say what they would do. Quit. Just pray. So I prayed to the God of heaven. You don't need everyone's opinion. Don't need everyone's expertise. What we need is to be a people of prayer. As soon as we hear of a brother or sister in need, that ought to be a prayer. As soon as we hear of anyone in need, that ought to be what we do, is pray. So may it be true of us that that's just what we do. We pray. That is our response. That is our first response to everything. To pray. If people would learn to do that, you can't wander too far from God if you pray. Your first response is to pray about everything. You're not going to get out of the Lord's will if that is our first response. The problem is, often, that is not our first response. It's not our second response. It's not our third response or fourth. Maybe our 15th or 20th. It may even be further down on the list than that. By that time, you've created a mess, whether you realize it or not. God help us to be a praying people. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. No one can teach how to pray like the Lord. And that He would teach us how to pray. Teach us what to pray for. So God help us tonight. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.